Rock and Some Rolls is a six-part radio series on limestone and limestone quarrying in Kilkenny and Carlow. It aims to show how geology shapes the landscape, buildings and art of Kilkenny and beyond.
William Collis and his family mined their stone from the Black Quarry, which was situated about a mile outside Kilkenny City. The Black Quarry yielded a black stone synonymous with Kilkenny marble. That quarry is now filled in, but other quarries have sprung up over the years. Driving from Kilkenny to Carlow on the motorway affords the driver and passenger a prime view of three of the four main quarries that mine the stone that lies on the Clogrennan seam of limestone.
See that quarry over there?
In this instance, Jim Harding is the driver and I'm the passenger.
Just on the top of the hill, see the white building over here on your left?
Yeah.
Now, if you look there, there's a kind of a greyish looking hill up behind that white building.
Yeah.
And that's actually, that's the spoil heap from the quarry that's underneath there. That is Kellymount Quarry.
Okay.
That's the first one. The next one is Old Loughlin, and the next one above that is Clogrennan. But in the meantime, back down along here, there are an awful lot of small little quarries. Now, a lot of them have closed over at the moment, where you can just barely see bits and pieces of them. No, they'd still be open. There would still be quarry faces visible. There'd still be a lot of that kind of stuff. But the quarries themselves are closed and gone. There's nobody operating. But there's a huge amount of limestone all around this area.
Yeah.
It really is. This valley here is absolutely alive with limestone.
That's a nice turn of phrase, alive with limestone. Especially given that limestone contains the fossils of sea creatures that were around 350 million years ago. I go to visit Gerry Stanley, Head of Minerals at the Geological Survey of Ireland, to get the lowdown from a scientific perspective on how limestone ended up in Kilkenny and Carlow.
The world is made up of tectonic plates. The tectonic plates move around due to the internal forces within the earth, and these forces we call tectonic forces. Ireland started its journey about 600 million years ago at the South Pole, and it has been moving slowly northwards so that at the beginning of the Carboniferous period, which is approximately 300 million years ago, we were just south of the equator. For limestones to form, it has to be in warm waters. This means that all limestones form within approximately 30 degrees north and south of the equator, which means that Ireland, when it had limestones forming, was close to the equator.
While I'm there, I get Gerry to give me the definitive on the Kilkenny limestone, Kilkenny marble conundrum.
Geologists classify rocks according to whether they are sedimentary or metamorphic or igneous. Geologists view limestones as a sedimentary rock. Geologists view marbles as a metamorphic rock. A metamorphic rock is one that has been subjected to high temperatures and pressures, probably over many million years. The high temperature and pressure changes the rock so that the rock recrystallizes and the minerals in the rock become larger, they grow larger, and they look more shiny, essentially. And that's just a natural process. For the building industry, any rock that is a limestone that can take a polish will be described as a marble. So many metamorphic rocks that geologists classify as metamorphic rocks, they can be marbles, but equally any limestone rock that can take a polish, that will also be a marble.
There are three seams of limestone rock running through the landscape in Kilkenny and Carlow. Both the Clogrennan seam and the Butler's Grove seam, where Jim's quarry lies, yield dimensional stone quarries. The Ballyellen seam yields aggregate stone quarries. To extract the stone from the quarry at Butler's Grove, Jim Harding uses two excavators and a hydraulic splitter that cuts the stone into the sizes required.
The stone is put up onto these belts up here and is fed through a splitting machine, and it's split down into building stones. You can see the building stone in here. You can see the way it shapes up and squares out. And that's used for building walls or, you know, whatever, anywhere we're building stone. It's all for building anyway.
Yeah. Is there much business in the There is, I suppose,
but there's a lot of people at it now too. Yeah. When we started, that's the first, that particular machine is the first of those guillotines which came into the country. Now there's hundreds of them in the country at the minute, but that was actually the first. So yeah, it was quite different when that came in. But that's in a long time now. That's in 15 or 16 years at this stage.
And what does it cut with?
It's pressure. It's got a set of teeth. I'll walk you over here to it and you can actually have a look. If you look up on the top part of the machine itself, you can see a set of teeth pointing downwards. And underneath it, there's another set of teeth which go up. And when you put a stone in between the two of them and trigger the machine, the top one comes down, catches the stone between the top set of teeth and the bottom set of teeth. And it puts anything up to 100 tons pressure on it, which splits it. I'll show you now, Mac, do that. You'll see the blade coming down. And it squeezes down. Simple. So it is actually quite, there's a lot of power there.
Jim would say that he uses old quarrying methods to extract his stone. It suits the size of his quarry and the needs of his business. One man who has seen both the old and new methods of quarrying is Jim Kirby, who came to Kilkenny in 1983, initially as manager of Kellymount Quarry in Paulstown. He went on later to become director of the quarry.
The stone industry was changing when I arrived. It was sort of 10 years after diamonds were introduced into the business. Up to that, it had been most of the cutting had been by steel blades mixed with sand and water to cut, whereas now you had the introduction of diamonds, and diamonds just changed business completely. And it was the various use of diamond machinery, in that when I arrived in Kilkenny, the four quarries were, I suppose, backward, we're putting it mildly. Everything about it was old. Even the saws that were being used were converted from the old saws rather than new machinery being bought. Mm-hmm. And inside 10 years, that all changed. Between all the blades that used to be maybe 10 blades, they went up to 80 blades that you could cut with 80 blades at a time. There was a diamond wire which was like a necklace with diamond tips and diamond pearls in it, and that was used for cutting the blocks out of the quarry. Where we had already done quite a deal of blasting in the quarry, mainly with black powder, and this was to move the block on the bed. This wasn't necessary anymore when the diamond wire came in. There was steel, what we call steel bags that you could pump water into, that were only about a quarter of an inch thick. And they could actually push stone up to 50 and 60 tons of stone by just filling them with water. Yeah. Then, of course, all the CNC machines came in. What it meant really was that you could actually give instructions to the machine going home at night to do certain work for you. When you come in the morning, that work was done. So that was all in a 10, 12-year period. It just changed the quarries completely, so that from a situation where we were just supporting the headstone industry, it really took off at that point because you could produce so much material.
To see a modern quarry in action, I set off to visit Brendan Costello, Operations Director at Stone Developments in O'Loughlin.
So there's a limestone quarry, basically. So it's a dimensional limestone quarry. So we're trying to get blocks out of the quarry. So basically, in this quarry, it's all sawn. The only time we allow any blasting at all is to remove the overburden, non-commercial stone, as far as we're concerned. In our end of the business, we're looking for limestone blocks. This would have been laid down between 330 and 370 million years ago in coral seas. And it's a sedimentary rock, so it's laid down in layers. So you can see all the beds, you can see the variation of the marks and the walls. And they are the different beds, the different limestone beds. Okay. And the geologists say, if you look at that wall there, you're looking at approximately, I think it's 70 million years of life. Mm. So that puts it into perspective what we're actually looking at.
So it's kind of like a tree, the rings on a tree.
It's like the rings in a tree. Good girl, yes. Yeah. So on the right-hand side here, that's David. And basically what David is doing, he's drilling a horizontal hole 16 metres in length. So you drill a hole horizontally. And then either you cut with a chainsaw at the back or you drill down. So then you have a hole or a cut this way and a hole that way. And then you use what's called a diamond wire on a pulley. And that's actually what saws the stone.
Out. Okay.
So if you look at this here, that's a diamond wire saw. So there's the big pulley. So you have a cable with diamond beads on it. And that's what actually cuts the stone. Okay.
Okay.
Now the chainsaws also cut the stone, so as we go up the quarry, you'll actually see how the chainsaws operate as well. So that's one method of quarrying. It's a pneumatic drill that drills the holes, and then you have a wire saw. And most of this equipment is from Italy, which is the home of the stone quarrying business. Okay.
The equipment and machinery are the latest in technology, and Caterpillar excavators and loaders costing up to €300,000 negotiate the twists and turns of the quarry very niftily. But the quarry still uses the plugs and feathers technique, pioneered by the ancient Egyptians and used by the Romans also.
Plugs and feathers. In the modern day, you drill a hole with a pneumatic drill and you use one plug and two feathers and you drill a sequence of holes parallel to the bed, and you put in these plugs and feathers, and then you use a pneumatic jack, and then you go along and you increase the pressure, and as you increase the pressure, it splits the rock. So if you look up over here on the left hand side, now it's not visible because we're looking into the sun, you'll see a series of holes. So every 4 inches you drill the hole, right, and then you put in this series of plugs and feathers. And then, with pressure, that's what split the rock out.
And does that split it in a
straight line.
Straight line, okay.
Yes, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
The Italians also invented the steel bags that, when filled with water, push the cut rock a further 8 inches from the limestone bed so that the excavator hook can get in and pull the rock away.
We're going to move this 300 ton lump of rock. Well, it's probably just over 200 ton there. So we're after pushing it out with the bags to create room to put the hook in to pull it down. Now, sometimes these happen instantaneously. Other times we could be here for the next hour and we won't wait for that one. We'll see how he gets on. Okay.
Art getting it out, isn't it?
It is, yeah. There's a certain amount of knowledge.
Experience,
knowledge and training actually to operate in a dimensional limestone quarry. And patience. One way, it's a fascinating business. My background is engineering, so you put X amount in and you get X minus out. Well, in the stone business, you can have a lot of minuses when you take the bloody thing out. So even though we quarry approximately in a year, we quarry 30,000 cubic meters, which is almost 90,000 ton, and we process 9,000 cubic meters through our frame saws. So we have a 60% waste from the quarry to the block that we're looking for.
And that is due to what?
That's due to flaws, quality, the quality of the beds, but mostly due to natural flaws in the stone.
It's both a fascinating and frustrating business when working with nature. Quarries are noisy, dusty, and generally wet and cold.
To go down into a quarry on a day like today where you have, I don't know, mud and dirt and water and cold and all that kind of stuff, and to do the bits and pieces that you'd have to do around the quarry, I think you'd want to be either half gone off your head or you'd want to have a passion for it, to be said. But yeah, you would, of course, yeah.
Is that where the term stone mad came from?
It could very well be, actually. It could quite well be, yeah.
Rock and Some Rolls was produced by Monica Hayes with music by Jared Manning. This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.